Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Living in Alignment with Julie. I'm your host, Julie Kara Hoffenberg, and author of Homeless to Happy in a Split Second. You can find my book and information at juliekarahoffenberg.com. Today, I'll be continuing an enlightening discussion with E.J. Seals Jackson, author of the book Living from Within. You can find her book and information at ejseals.com. We've done about six shows so far, slowly deepening on our understanding of our thoughts, our feelings, the law of attraction, and our PowerPoints from which we create our reality. Please listen to our previous shows for a greater understanding of the background from which we depart today. Today's discussion about awareness is so critical, not only for a deeper understanding of the material we talk about, but also because the world is set up to detach you whenever possible from your awareness of your thoughts and feelings. Ultimately, awareness can lead us into a deeper sense of connection, not only to ourselves, but to those around us and the experiences we wish to create. So before we deepen our discussion about awareness too much, I'll welcome EJ onto the show to recap a few of the recent topics we've discussed, as they are the foundation for our topic of awareness today. So this will increase our understanding. So let me just have EJ come on to the show here. One moment.
Hi there, Jill.
Hello, EJ. Welcome to the show.
And thank you. I'm getting a sip of water. 1 second.
Sure. Take your time. No problem. So we'll just be diving into awareness in a few moments. And yeah, we've had quite a few shows on the topic of thoughts and feelings, law of attraction, these types of things. So we'll have some new listeners today, and we can give them a little taste of that and kind of recap, and then we'll take a deep dive.
Okay. Sounds great. You know what? I've just been kind of thinking. I'd like for us to kind of present this information today in a way. I want to get people out of the theory. I want people to be interested in practicing what we are talking about, or at least make sure they have the tools that they know that they can, and it can be organized in such a way that it will be simple enough for them to practice, if that makes sense.
Right.
But anyway,
Yeah, okay.
The biggest issue, I kind of had one idea when I was talking about this recap thing, but now I feel more like this is about awareness. And I think this is almost one of the biggest topics that we have done overall, because we cannot get, and this is what you've been saying, we've both been saying, but you've been saying, oh, we cannot move forward with this thing without awareness. Now, and there's so many things that we need to be aware of. And let me tell you the beauty in this. We have to be aware of our feelings. Now, we've been talking about feelings a lot. We have to be aware of our feelings. And particularly our feelings in general, but we have to be particularly aware of this thing that we call God. And I always kind of want to start there, because there is a greatness to us, and we have to understand how to connect with that greatness, because that is our source. I kind of think about the movie The Secret, and I think this is probably what they were saying. Great movie, but people were saying there's something missing from the movie. And I think what is missing from is the awareness of our inner being, truly the vibrational beings that we are. And I think that that is what's missing from that movie. That is also what is missing from our lives. If we are not aware of our feelings, that's just for starters. we are not going to feel the presence of love. And ultimately, at the end of the day, that's what this is about. It's about the awareness of the feeling of love that is within us. So awareness of our feelings. Okay, so that's just one huge part of it. Awareness of the present moment. I am in the present moment. I am, and we're going to talk about a little bit less about that I am thing. That I am is what can, that feeling, we say I am, it is that feeling that connects us to the Christ within, the source. It's the, it takes us, and if we, you can, we can feel that. If we just say I am, where do we feel that? We feel that in our solar plexus, where we can hear that still small voice. So being aware of the feelings, being aware of our thoughts, being aware and connected with the feelings. Okay, our thoughts. If we are not aware of our thoughts, I mean really consciously aware of our thoughts, we are not aware of how destructive they are. Our thoughts, we've said before, are 98% repetitive and useless. And that is kind of something that we don't know. But if we come aware of this, consciously aware of our thinking mind, just like you'd be consciously aware of a closet that has all of junk and clothes in it, before you can do anything about that, you can become aware of that. And when we become aware of our thoughts, we can now organize them in such a way that they are manageable. Now, I was thinking about an example, cars on the expressway. The reason, I mean, there are some crashes, but for the most part, those cars go smoothly. And that's because they're all traveling in one direction. When we become aware of our thoughts, we will detach ourselves from those thoughts. And just really, those are thoughts. They have no more power than a soap bubble, and if you just let them flow, they will flow on. So we need to be aware of our thoughts. If we are aware of our thoughts and we are aware of our feelings, then we are in a position to create whatever it is that we want. Okay. The next thing I want to say is already done. We have to be aware of that. Because of our thoughts and feelings, we have the ability, by grace, we have the ability to create whatever it is our hearts desire. Now, even in the religious community, and this is interesting, it says that the kingdom of heaven is within. But it's interesting how that good part is overlooked. Now, we can believe in some, you know, egomaniacal God, vindictive God that will, you know, put us in hell for the rest of our life. A lot of people still believe that, and I'm not arguing with that. I'm not trying to change that belief. But I'm just saying we can believe that, but we are not interested in engaging in something as pure and simple as that. The kingdom of heaven is within. I am the kingdom of heaven. I am the source of my pleasure. I am the source of my abundance. I am the source of my peace. I am. I don't need to look anywhere else but inside of myself, put my attention into my solar plexus. And I am will put us there. But it's all about awareness. We must be mindful of what we are thinking about, because we will not mindfully think on violence and vindictiveness, and we will not think on those negative issues if we are aware of what we are thinking about. Okay, Jules, I'm going to let you kind of kick in on that.
Yeah, there was so much there, you know, that are things that we have kind of repeatedly told people over and over for good reason, because the concepts sort of go in and out. They just, you know, someone might catch a radio show here or there, or they might touch on a subject and say, yeah, I know that. But it's the old saying, to know and not to do is not to know. To know and not to do is not to know. So people know it intellectually.
Intellectually.
That's funny. Intellectually. But they don't know it through their experience yet. And the only real knowing is through experience. That is the true awareness, is to know something from your own deep understanding and experience with it. So this is why we repeat several things of the I am, why we repeat to go back to this idea that we're trying to put people in back in touch with source. How many people day to day just talk about being in touch with source? Not too many. We have a few people in our community that we have these conversations with, but most people start the day, check the phone, hop on the computer, oftentimes myself included, and I forget that I can stick my feet in nature and connect with source, whether, you know, people assume that to be like Christ light or great creator or great spirit or Pachamama or who, whatever your great source is perfect. So these are things when we are working on awareness that we can bring ourselves back to by just calling to attention the fact that we need to do it. I love the example that you gave of cars all going in the same direction. So we can have an unaware perspective of this and just allow the automatized mind to take us to the accident, leading us into fear, or we can have total presence and awareness and say, that may have happened, but I'm choosing out of my own awareness to focus on all of the cars going safely in the same direction. I'm choosing to focus on how safe I am in this moment. I'm not physically the one in the accident, so I don't have to live that experience in advance, unless I really want to attract something catastrophic, you know? So these things are really little exercises, little things we can look at. How are we speaking to ourselves? When we say, I am, how are we, you know, what did we say yesterday? I was in dialogue with somebody that I know, and the affirmation was, I am bloated, I am fat, I am this, I am that. Without any judgment of that, it just simply was where that person was at in the moment. And maybe through their own awareness, they will shift their dialogue with themselves and begin saying, I am seeking the resources to relieve some of this that I'm feeling right now. Because the body, the mind, the spirit will go wherever the I am statements are dictating it to go. But that it's a practice. It's a practice in awareness. And the other thing to just be cautious of is, you know, you don't have to like tell people and be their word police and tell them, oh, you just said a bad I am statement. That's not what we're telling people to do, because, you know, you can get a bad rap for saying, oh, you expect everyone to be perfect and, you know, this or that. This is not where we want people to go with it. This is a personal depth practice. This is a personal spiritual growth practice to hold the awareness. And that practice can be done with other people too. When you're holding the awareness for them, their statements, with instead of judging it, ask yourself, where are my own statements that I need to shift? It's okay to notice where they're at, but we don't need to harp on it unless they are in practice also, and we can be like a team to each other. Like you and I have a great rapport. You know, I always say, like, Ethel, she's right there with me spiritual. She's like a soul sister, you know? So we can dialogue and say, hey, did you just hear what you said to yourself? And we have that trust because we know it's not coming out of judgment or fear or hatred.
Exactly.
It's coming out of helping each other raise up. So I just wanted to throw that in there so that nobody feels like, oh, God, I've got to start getting out there and, you know, telling people how they have to be. That's not at all what this is. So I don't know if you have any further reflection on that. You're welcome to add that, you know, come back with anything else that you that it's sparking right now.
Yes, a couple of things. You know, still coming back to awareness. What we really want to become aware, this is about living from within, okay? And what we really want to do is be aware that there is a withinness. I think that we are not really aware that there is a withinness about us. When I say the withinness, it's the feelings. Now, most of it, we know about our faults and, you know, how they just conflicted and chaotic and that kind. We kind of know about that. But the masses don't really know about we are not really aware of our feelings. And it's like if you have a cell phone, and I shouldn't even be saying this because I'm certainly guilty of this one, but because I'm not that into technology, but you have a cell phone, but you don't know all the features of it. Therefore, this phone cannot serve you well because you're not aware of the features of it. It's the same with us, our inner life. Our feelings can serve us just so well, but if we don't know, we need to become aware of that feature, how the living from within, that there is a withinness in the form of my short thoughts and feelings, and become aware of that. The other thing I wanted to say about, we were talking about this higher self, the Christ, or whatever it is we want to call that. We have to visit that place. You know, like Jules was talking about, how, you know, we getting up and doing something other than doing that first. Alignment first, and not that I always live by this, but I'm getting better and better at it because alignment first, awareness first, be aware of my answer. Be aware, just open to receive and be aware of where I am. If I am at ease within myself, which is what alignment is, nothing can come nigh my dwelling or yours. That's why this stuff is so simple. It's not easy, but we can all feel. We all have access to the feeling of love, and that's ultimately what this is about. When I am in that loving space, the feeling of love, the feeling of God, the feeling of Christ, the feeling, spirit and feeling mean one and the same. When I am in that space, I will always miss the plane that crashes. And I'm telling you, it's such an opportunity for us to just get to know about our feeling of well-being, because that is exactly what we will attract. And it makes perfect sense. It's just logical. We have the law of attraction. When I am aware of the feeling of love that is within me, it blossoms, it grows, and you will begin to attract everything, all the good will be coming into your experience and my experience as I am experiencing now. So it's just a matter of being aware, being mindful of what we are thinking about. We would not mindfully think negative thoughts. So that said, just being aware of that withinness, it's several times throughout the day, which is something I'm working on. Stop and be still. Be aware of whatever that is that sources you, what you feel. Be aware of that feeling. And it doesn't take long. If you just take a minute just to be aware of that connect, because that is what sources us. So that's
a minute is all it takes. Some people use little mala beads that they hold, or the rosary would be another version. In once an hour, they'll just take 1 minute and either do a mantra or just check in and see what the feeling is, especially if you have like a long work day and you're just task to task to task, and you're not even acknowledging that you're having certain thoughts, maybe negative or certain feelings or overwhelm or any of that. Just the awareness that it exists is the opportunity to shift it. Because if you're not aware that it's happening, you're just on autopilot, on overdrive, and it's like a form of disempowerment. You have no power to shift anything that is not your preference because you're not even looking at it. And one thing I did that was just sort of interesting was just to look up the definition of awareness to begin with. So according to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary online, it said, awareness is the knowledge and the understanding that something is happening or exists. The knowledge and understanding that something is happening or exists. And some of the synonyms that came up, consciousness, which is a major theme on our show, cognizance, knowledge, and observation. And that brought such a little, sort of like this image of someone on a pedestal just kind of observing from afar everything that's happening. And that's what we want to get to, is to become your own wisdom master, to have your own knowledge and understanding of really what's happening within you, instead of the perpetual detachment, which we can go into in a moment. But this is, it's so clear. I mean, the definition says everything. We don't really think about, you know, am I knowledgeable and understanding of what's happening within me? Am I knowledgeable and understanding of what actually exists? And many people aren't.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
That is,
it's like,
so good.
It kind of drops you to your knees, because it's like, I think it's taken for granted. People go, oh, of course I'm aware. Oh, of course I know what exists. But do you know what exists? You've never taken a single breath. You've never sat for a single silent. I get all the time when people ask me, when I say, oh, meditation would be beneficial if you're hugely stressful. So people always say this to me. They say, yeah, but I have too many thoughts and then I can't do it. Okay, well, have you ever experienced just a breath? Can you breathe in and breathe out right now? No, I can't do that. I'm too stressed. Okay, well, we're working on on taking you away from that, but that shows you how unaware people are of the possibility of what can happen.
Yeah.
There's so much resistance. Yeah. There's so much disconnect. It's just instantly, boom, email, phone, TV, let me handle my family. Everything's so stressful. Everything's so difficult. But we have to give ourselves the opportunity of awareness through just allowing ourselves to take a breath every moment or two. I mean, even in our show, there was a breath a second ago, and that's great. People would tell you, the show is a failure if you have quiet moments. Why don't we have more quiet moments in shows? Right? It's okay not to say anything.
Okay, not still, this is okay. You know, and another thing I want to add here is that what we don't know, we're already creating. You know, the thing we're saying, consciously be creative, be aware of what we are doing. So this is what we need to know. We are already creating.
Right.
But we're doing so by default. We're not saying anything that's different from the creative process from beginning and forevermore. We create with our thoughts. We focus on it with our thoughts, like a camera focuses on something. We have a feeling, a vibration that goes along with that. And it is from that feeling. If we hold on to that feeling for like one of our desires for 17 seconds, that begins to give that momentum enough feeling to begin to manifest. If we hold on to it for 67 seconds, it's going to manifest. And I want to say something else. We're talking about feelings here, manifesting feelings, and I know people want the other stuff as well. But this is what I want us to know about that. The other stuff will come. But if we try to go after the other stuff, then we're going to lose sight of our oneness connection. The whole idea is, okay, we're creating by default with our thoughts and feelings, but now we can do it consciously. We've been creating the mayhem and the chaos. We've been doing that by default. And we are great creators. Look at the mess we've created. Well, we don't need to call it a mess. Look at what we have created, you know. And we would not have consciously have done that. If we are aware of our thoughts, then we will choose thoughts that make us feel good, especially when we see the advantage in that, because the better we feel, the law of attraction kicks in. Final thing, and I'm going to kick it back to you, Jules, is that be okay, we want something. Let's say we have a desire. Let's say it's a desire for a home, okay? Find the feeling space. What would that be like? What would that feel like to be in that space? And forget about the house. Okay, we want to think about our desires because it makes us feel good. That's where we want to be. We can use anything to make us feel good. But don't go on and say it hasn't manifested yet, because it must manifest in our feelings first. So what we do, let the feeling be the evidence. Just look how good it feels, you know, living in my new home. Let the feeling be the evidence. And like I say, bottom line, we're already doing this. We just want to be aware of what it is we're doing so we can create consciously as opposed to by default. And the word consciousness, Jules, let's talk about that a little bit. I want you to me, consciousness, it's like you're in a room, and you know there are things around you, but you can focus on one thing and become consciously aware of that one thing. So I want you to talk, what consciousness? Okay, you do see consciousness and awareness as one and the same. Am I correct on that? And how does consciousness fit in with awareness?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm using them here for the purpose of the show as sort of similar. They can be taken as different as well, but when we are aware, we are conscious of something. So they can be used as synonyms. We also have kind of a broader, let's say, a little bit more spiritual understanding of consciousness. Like we come into this lifetime as presence, as consciousness. So we are the, I guess they can be sort of interexchanged. We're the awareness or the presence witnessing all that is taking place in life. We are a conscious creator. So I think that they're fairly similar. I think if we really picked them apart, we could find some differences. But I think for the awareness show itself, you could interchange those words and say, am I aware this is happening? Am I conscious this is happening? Or you can set the intention for the day to say, I'm going to be a conscious person as much as possible today. I'm going to be conscious of what I'm creating, passively creating. So, and you touched on this a moment ago, which was really important. When we're talking about the law of attraction, it's very easy to get into the ego-driven stuff that we're trying to create, whether it's a car or a wristwatch or whatever people want. Really, what they're seeking is the feeling behind whatever they're going to get. So that's the most important distinction, is you think you want the thing, but it's really the feeling that so you're going to be given a person, a place, a thing, or experience that matches whatever that initial feeling was. Maybe you're feeling freedom and the wind in your hair and all this great stuff, riding on a boat in the Caribbean, and this is what you want to manifest. Well, maybe it'll be a different place, but you will create something like that. It's going to give you that same feeling. So we want to make sure that people know that the intention behind understanding the deeper law of attraction and awareness is not to get you to start creating a bunch of stuff in your life, but to have the awareness of your thoughts and feelings, and to no longer be creating by default, because law of attraction is not something that you turn on or off with a switch. It's always happening and responding to your feelings, but we do have a choice. We can become conscious. We can become aware and begin choosing the thoughts and feelings that will bring more of what we want, overdrive we talk about, and mindlessly creating. And oftentimes it's not good. Sometimes after a while of practice, you can mindlessly create all kinds of great stuff. But most people are not set up that way. The world is designed to set you up for a little bit more disempowering creations mm-hmm. and self-doubt and things like that. So that sort of spun out a little bit. But I think awareness and consciousness are fairly similar, at least for the purposes of the show today.
Totally agree. And you know, while you were talking, it's being aware of what it is I am aware of. So using the consciousness, I do agree within the context of this show. Okay, we are all aware. That's already done. We are already aware. But am I aware of what I am aware of? And to me, that's where the word consciousness comes in. Am I consciously, because I'm already in a place of awareness, but am I consciously aware of what it is I am aware of? That's how consciousness comes across to me. There was something else, but it'll come back to me. So yeah, that's very good. And I hope that we can see if we are not aware of what, if I am not aware of what I am creating, I am indeed creating by default, and I am negatively creating. I mean, I get some of the things I want and some of the things that I don't want, but conscious awareness of what we are aware of, that's what we're saying here.
Yeah, that's what we're striving for people to understand. And in a moment, too, we can share some examples of times when we became aware that we were not aware, if that makes sense. Which is something easy, interesting to get into in just a sec. But one thing that I wanted to explain is when we're talking about how you can be disempowered when you're not aware and you're in that auto drive type of place, you're not aware of your thoughts and feelings, you're not aware of how, you know, even what you think about something or just kind of going through your day, we can become disempowered because it's a place you can slip into and become controlled. So the world is designed to sort of keep you numb, let's say the modern world, numb, mm-hmm. distracted, unaware. So they can do this through the media, through drugs, whether pharmaceutical or anything else that brings us out of our awareness of present conscious life. Bad food that can settle down an emotion and keep us from feeling something we need to feel. Anything to distract you from your real feelings. So, mm-hmm. you know, even the awareness of your rights. Some people don't know their rights. So without the awareness of your rights, you can't control your own sense of power in your life. So awareness affects every bit of our That's power great. And disempowerment. And this is really such a huge, huge thing because so many people, and it doesn't even have to be something like your legal rights, but so many people day to day think, oh, well, I don't have the right to quit my job because this is what I went to school for, or I don't have the right to switch up what I'm doing because it's just what's expected of me. The disempowerment is so ingrained and people can't feel down into really deeply the truth of their feelings and what their soul is calling for. So mm-hmm. this is kind of the next push. And I think like our own personal experiences fit in well with that. I don't know if there's something that comes to mind specifically for you. Is there a situation or anything that's happened where you were like, oh my God, I'm not aware, and suddenly you have that awareness?
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? Coming back to the story of my book, right?
Right.
I've come to realize, now, you know, and the problem, it's not a problem. You know, as with most of us, when I say I'm going to do something, we enjoy following through on that commitment, being a man of my word, so to speak. I mean, and I know a lot of us feel like that. So when I'm saying, you know, this book is going to be on the PDF on this day and this day, you know, I want to honor that commitment. But now I have come, this has come to me. I have no control over this, okay? This, okay. We get a great idea that is spiritually, it's an insightful, and we go with it. But then we go off on our own, okay? And that's what I was attempting to do with this book. I felt pressure, you know, a deadline. I got to get this done. But the universe does not work that way. What I was taking the universe. The universe got this, and I'm back in the flow now, and I am allowing this thing to unfold however it unfolds, because I know I am not, there's something greater than I am orchestrating this, and I am getting back in alignment with that. Now, where that takes me, I'm sure it's, I mean, I feel more freer. I don't feel pressured because, you know what, it just kind of is what it is. I am following my feelings, and when I'm ready, when I'm hot, I'm hot. When I'm not, I'm not. When I feel that readiness, I'll get back into it. So I don't know if that's the best example, but I had gotten completely out of alignment with Source. I am allowing Source to do this for me. And since I am giving that over to Source, I need to get myself out of the way. I don't know if that was the best example or not, but it's sure one that has just kind of struck me lately.
Yeah, I think it's a perfect example because you were in a space, like I remember initially when you were working on the book, you're like, it's going to be an ebook. I'm going to throw it up there. Whatever yeah. It wants to morph into is fine. And you were kind of unaware that there were some deeper feelings of like some revisions and some new topics that were coming to you, and it was sort of rushed. So as soon as you have that awareness of the feeling of that rushing and that panic and the dates and you gave yourself more of a freedom with it and the freedom of allowing it to become more, in fact, now it's going to be going into print, which is, for me, that's the best because I love actual books. I love to buy them and collect them and touch them and feel them and read and underline and highlight and refer back. And I mean, my book, Homeless to Happy in a Split Second, as well as yours, Living from Within, they're like books of other books. There's so many references in there because we love books so much. But yeah, so that's a perfect example. I mean, I have memories of, let's see, oh man, there's so many memories when I was just totally unaware. But in my early 20s, I was teaching art. I went to school for art education. So I was, let's see, I think it was like maybe kindergarten or first grade through sixth grade. And man, those little stinkers were so cute. It was just, oh gosh, I really fell so in love with them. So I had this great first year, and then the second year we had new principal, a lot of changes, less structure, and then the school divided into two, and it just fell apart. And I was trying to keep myself together while everything else was falling apart around me. And I won't go down the rabbit hole of public school system and just all the disempowerment and stuff. I wasn't aware yet. I didn't have awareness for how systems worked. I didn't have the awareness of how I was feeling until I virtually imploded. I mean, I didn't have an actual nervous breakdown, but the level of sadness and fear of letting myself and everyone else down by saying, this does not feel good. I don't want to accept this in my life anymore. It just was so heavy, and I had to step into the awareness that it was everything I was feeling, A, was allowable and normal and valid, and B, to hold the awareness that it's okay to change your mind. And it is okay to say no to what isn't feeling good. You do not have to power through things that don't feel good. There may be a way to shift it where you can feel better. I did all kinds of presencing work where I'm like, I'm going to be a positive little beaver today. And I'm going to go into work and it's going to be amazing. And all these kids are going to act perfect. And I'm going to put in place all my little discipline stuff. And I kid you not, there was a day when I lined up every single kid outside the door and I would not let them in the classroom until basically I could have control of them, and it never happened. So we never went in because they were living the experience. These are like fifth graders. They would get in the classroom and they would throw sponges and paint, and I'm actually a good disciplinarian too. So, but I was handling a class of 35 to 40 kids. That's unacceptable. Six times a day, and then recess duty, and then crosswalk duty, and all this stuff. And I was dropped to my knees. At the end of the year, I used way more sick days than I even had and didn't get paid, and I didn't even care. It was so difficult. And so having that awareness, though, if I was more aware in the beginning of how deeply kind of depressed and stressed I was getting, I just kept denying it. So that's definitely one of the times that really stands out to me of total lack of awareness and then instant clarity and saying, sayonara, I'm off to art school.
Exactly.
Have a good one. Peace out.
See,
it makes me laugh now. Like how long I struggled. I should have just quit mid-year. But you do all the guilting. Oh, the poor kids. Oh, the kids, they need me. They don't need me. They're throwing paint at each other. Things have to shift. The classes have to be smaller. And what you accept, you perpetuate. So I don't accept that my class has 40 kids, and I'm not going to perpetuate it. Find someone else to do it, you know? So,
exactly.
Oh, man, it just makes me giggle so hard now.
I know. But let me tell you what worked, and I mean, for me, I so hear that. Whenever I have, and I let it come up to two things, when I have two things that are bothering me, if you will, I use that as my cue to be still. Listen, to be still. And, of course, we didn't have the wherewithal to do that. But if I am still, and look, I've gotten this down to a science. Now, it might take me a minute to allow that space, but I have to remember that loving space is already within me. Okay, I have to keep that in mind. So sometimes it's a little more difficult, if you will, for me to be still enough so to get to allow my mind to, and I'm saying allowing because this is what I have come. If I allow the feeling of love to enter, every answer, and this has not failed me, and I've been doing this for a minute now, every answer will come. It will be the perfect answer, right answer. See, that's the advantage of living from a loving space. That's why we got to be so, you know, be aware of our feeling of love. If we are in a loving space and we have to live out from that space, that feeling of love, when we do that, I'm telling you, you will be amazed. And I'm always amazed. I don't care what it is. I know that the answer is going to come, you know, and that's why I can stick with it. This is off a little bit, but it kind of reminds me of your book. When I was reading your book, it's not all pleasant per se, but you know it's going to turn out right. And see, that's what we have to our advantage. I know because of her thinking, you know, I know that this is going to be a good outcome, and I was just kind of thrilled to just follow each adventure because, and now if I didn't know the outcome, I mean, if it had stayed into that muckety muck on any level, then I would not have been interested. But that's what's so interesting about this book. You know it's going to all turn out well, and you're going to also know if she can do it, so can I. And, you know, another thing I was kind of thinking about, thinking just overall, if we shift our thinking, we can change the world. Now, this is one of the things I look at. I don't care how rich we are, how poor we are, what we have, don't have, race, color, national origin, whatever. It really does not matter. It is our thinking. If we think about positive outcomes, if we look forward to the future, and if we think on abundance and having enough and the joy of being and the pleasure, if we think on that, and when we see people who have the good life, so to speak, that's what they are thinking about. But this is the thing, it's a level playing field. We can all change our thinking. If we change our thinking, we will simultaneously change our lives, because whatever we're thinking, that is what I am manifesting in this present moment experience. So the error is in the thinking, and thoughts can be changed. That gives us all a privilege, and it is a privilege because we can all feel good. And that's how we're going to end up turning this world around. Inner peace leads to world peace. Let's start with inner peace. And I'm trusting that there will be some members of this audience who will commit to the feeling of love. Just check it out. You got feelings, you got thoughts, you got, just check out the feeling of love. Just stay in that space for a little while and just see what happens.
So yeah, we have the freedom to play with it. You know, it can be a play or a dance or in exchange with our thoughts and our feelings. And also, as you become aware, this can, it can feel like a process of awakening. There can be some resistance, there can be some fear, there can be some, you know, even a little bit of traumatization, because you're looking at things that you never really fully looked at before. And one really important thing with becoming aware is to not be in denial of anything that exists. So you're practicing awareness, you're going through your day, you take a moment, you sit still, and you realize you're really having, like, let's say, depth of sadness of someone who has passed. So you can consider ways of honoring that person, or to just sit with the feeling for a moment and then reach for a feeling that could begin to feel better. Just even the knowingness that moving through the emotions over time is a healing process itself, and that things do get better. Weights do lift off your shoulders. Emotions are like waves. They come and they go. Just the awareness of that can lift a feeling from you. So you don't have to deny anything or pretend like, you know, you're a positivity robot or anything, but this is a practice, and it can be uncomfortable, and it can be a little weird looking up things that you never felt before. I mean, when I would, you know, go home and just finally allow myself to, like, cry myself to sleep and have the feelings of how much pressure and stress I was under in that school experience, that it was empowering to me to be able to finally feel it instead of just guard my heart so much and pretend like I could just be a robot making it just barely through school every day on like 3 cups of caffeine just to get through. So, just like getting through on adrenaline is not the same thing as actually feeling your feelings. That's kind of the place to reach for, you know, be gentle with yourself along the way. It can be quite an experience to touch with your feelings, and other people will be like, wow, this is great, and just slide right into the pocket, and it's going to be easy cheesy. So wherever you are along that sliding scale is perfectly fine, because it really is a waking up process. All of these discussions that we're having are about waking up and really coming outside of that expectation to continuously shove down, not look at, disconnect from spirit, all that stuff. So that's kind of the purpose behind the show, I feel, is to, that's why it's living in alignment. It's to
get back into alignment with your thoughts and feelings, and from that point, be empowered to begin choosing more of them and create consciously, create through awareness. This can be intense stuff for sure.
You know, and I'd like to add to that in terms of our so-called negative emotions. When I am in alignment with Source, you know, we start with a solution. I mean, you know, I've gone through years of getting to this point, when in fact I encourage people, start with a solution. Love is the answer. The feeling of love is the answer, okay, the feeling space. So when we are with that, other stuff will come up. But the beauty in that is I am able to manage because I am in a safe place. I am, you know, I know that there's nothing that can harm me. There's nothing inside of me that can harm me. These are just thoughts that have, you know, kept, I'm trying to think what G.P. Wall said. It keeps our nervous system in a defensive posture if we don't be aware of these negative emotions. But when we become aware of them, we realize they really are just thoughts, you know, and we can let them go. Our thoughts do not serve us. And when we are aware of that, and just a couple of things I want to say, and then I'm going to turn it back to you, Jules. We were kind of talking about, which we really don't have time to do anyway, we were talking about coming up with resources to give to people, okay, to guide them. In that context, and I said to Jules, there would be two things. In terms of books, most of us have a shelf help library, you know, and it's not self, it's just shelf help. A lot of us don't, I enjoy reading, but I have so many books. If I could absorb, there's so many books that I don't finish, okay? So this is why I was saying if we were going to recommend books, recommend my book and her book, because you kind of know what you're getting through those two books. So it's not like you're investing in something sight unseen. So, but this is what I would also recommend to people. And to me, this is probably the simplest way to go about this. Listen to Abraham Hicks, okay? It takes us directly to the experience. Get into that. Some of she has workshops. These are just ideas that you can get into and support everything we're saying here. I am. Harrison Klein's I Am. I so recommend that because it takes us to that feeling place, and that is where we have to be. And those would be the one that I would suggest. There could be others, but those are just one that I think is easy enough. We have the equipment, we have the feelings, the thought. We can do this. It does not make sense for us to continue to think thoughts that don't feel good when we got the option to think anything that we want to think, and it's going to bring about the feeling that we want to feel. And that's why would we not do this? So I'm just asking people to try this for a couple of days. Listen to some Abraham. Another thing, go back and listen to some of these shows. Very insightful, and I go back and listen to it, and I'm comforted by it. So those are just some little things that I'd like for people to get in terms of an action, because the universe, everything is already done. We just have to become aware of what is the feeling of what we already have, and that is what expresses it out. So that's me.
That's a great you. There's so many resources. I think eventually we'll probably do a show where we're discussing some of our most inspirational materials that we've ever come in contact with. And it would also be really fun to share some quotes or sentences that just totally rearranged our minds, and we just had a total aha moment from that. Because books are magic. Our resources are magic. Doesn't matter if you're watching free YouTubes from Harrison Klein or G.P. Walsh, or you know, whatever resources you can get your hands on, or reading, when you put good material into your system, you are by default eliminating negative thoughts automatically for every second that you're focused on the good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're focused on the good stuff, you're automatically creating good stuff by default. So we would rather that than, you know, reading People magazine and somebody's drama and this and that. I mean, yeah, there's a dentist office and a place for that if you feel like it. But, you know, if you got too much crud in your life, then consider reading some good stuff. I mean, obviously our two books, Homeless to Happy in a Split Second. If you have ever been in a place of despair, read my book because it help you understand how to shift those feelings and look at your world differently. And be grateful for everything that you have. If you are too externalized, read EJ's book, Living From Within. There are so many resources in that book and so many new ways of looking at things and deepening your connection to yourself and your source. So those, absolutely. You know, we've spoken about Eckhart Tolle on this show many times, and we refer to his wisdom because it's brilliant. And reading The Power of Now deals so much with our awareness topic today. We did two shows just on presence and being present, being in the now moment. So Eckhart Tolle, Power of Now. And then another one that's a little more specific, but I think can help so many people who are stressed out about what they do, not enough money, getting more aware that they deserve to live and seeing a model of it, of living the life that they want to live. If you read Wayne Dyer's book, I Can See Clearly Now, he became so aware of his feelings of resistance to where he was, hugely successful, model, perfect job, and then just said, I want to be a writer, and just went and did it. So if you need to make that switch with your awareness of what's actually possible, I think this could be a great like baby step of a book. Well, it's kind of every step, but baby steps for shifting your awareness. And that book, oh man, it's like, it was like he was speaking right to me. I just, it's just so heartfelt and so beautifully written. And I think that can be a huge resource for people. So you have our books, you have several resources EJ and I told you to begin with. So lots and lots of work you can be doing in the next few weeks because, funny enough, I just manifested myself a trip to Mexico with my wife, which is not a bummer at all. And
I love it.
This is such a story of the awareness because we thought we were driving to Mexico with friends and the border still closed. And we were going to go for like 4 days. And so you can't drive. You can only fly to Mexico. Whether or not that makes sense, we're not going to get into that. So turns out we're going for a month. We found a place by so-called accident from someone else's YouTube channel. And we were like, oh my gosh, I want to go there. So we're going to break from the show for about a month because the internet at our Airbnb is probably going to be hit or miss. It's the nature of things there, which is perfectly fine. And we will be resuming sometime early December. So you guys will need some material to look at, to research, work on the silence. You know, exercises in awareness can be just silence. Observe everything around you that you see, hear, smell, taste, touch. Ask yourself upon arising, how do you feel? What thoughts are going through your mind? And eliminate distraction. So we've got about one more minute, but that's kind of what's happening with the show. But we will be back. Don't think we dropped off air permanently. Any last thoughts, EJ?
Just one quick question. So we have one more week. So we will not be having a show next week, right?
We may not. I have to take a look at the at the platform, but we may be breaking until the first week in December, but we'll let everybody know for sure.
Sounds good. Listen, life is great. Life is, let's embrace it, people. Let's say yes to life. Let's say yes to life. It has so much to offer. Jules, thank you for everything. I just so much clarity. Just enjoy. I just love that trip. Listen, I had something pretty amazing to come into my life as well in that same kind of vein. I'll share it with you on our phone call. So, but anyway,
right.
Love you. Thank you.
All right. Love to everyone, and we will talk to you on the next episode.